Father, we come to you once again with concerns about the people around the world, especially in our country here, the floods, the hurricane, the tornadoes, the destruction that we see. We surely are reminded that these things have been prophesied, and we think we may be living in the last times. Father, you created this world, and you know all about it, and you know what's best for every one of us. Father, I pray you be with those who suffer from these tragedies. Father, give us wisdom and guidance. We pray for those also that suffer from the ravages of war and famine and disease. Give us the instruction you would have us for this hour. Give us wisdom and patience. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you for those out there on the internet. Are there any additions to the changes to the agenda?
Yeah, and okay. One from IT. If I'm understanding this right, and I believe she'll be up here later, they're saying that our bill is $400 a month, and I believe she can lower it to $70 a month. But two commissioners have to sign the contract. I think I'll wait and let her explain that, but I'd like to add that to the agenda.
Okay.
The other thing is, this has got probably more to do with the highway superintendent guy. I've run across a ordinance from back in 94, and I've had some conversations with him, and I think this might kind of align with him as far as erosion. When it gets to that, I'd like to go ahead and talk about it, but I just like to, we probably do it when he does his part of the highway.
Okay.
There seems to be some issues with that, so
sure.
We've talked a little bit, and we'll talk more when it's his turn.
Okay, very good. We'll have that highway update. We'll put IT, unless she comes super early, we'll put it down here in other business.
That's fine.
Okay. With that, have you had a chance to look at the claims and the minutes of our previous meeting?
I have.
Yeah. The only thing I noticed, and I brought it up to them, they said that it stays in there, but they're going to make an adjustment here about the July 3rd meeting, where it's going to be the first reading, and in these minutes, I guess they're going to put in there that the first reading is this 10.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That's what I've seen in it.
Okay.
I just kind of was looking through the claims. You talk about a lot of money, guys. A lot of money.
A lot of money. Yeah.
There was one change. I don't see Doug, but he took something out. He removed $95 from the claims. So we're gonna mention that if it can get paid. I also asked about where we're at on the corner building. At some point, we're gonna figure that out and get them paid also.
Yes.
But other than that, I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve the claims in minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Question? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on to the Area Plan Commission. Kayla.
Hi.
If I Hello. Could just say this before you start. What an amazing job you do in there. Thank you so much. Every time I go past there, there's somebody in there that needs something that you take care of so efficiently. So, you know, kudos to you.
Thank you.
There's always doubt about how the new one's going to perform in any job we have come open.
It's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure. and we try to bring the people up. Who are already within our organization, give them the first shot at everything before we go outside. And turned out you were an excellent choice. Thank you.
Well, now that I'm blushing, should I go ahead and read this entire staff report? You want me to just kind of piecemeal it, give you guys the...
You can summarize it.
Okay.
Or whatever paraphrase, yes.
Okay, so this is an approval for a development plan for a residential PUD, which is a planned unit development. The hearing date before the APC was on June 25th of 2024. This is located at 1170 Claylick Road on the north side of the road in Washington Township. The APC and you, the commissioners, had approved the outline plan for the PUD in August 24th of 2021. So that was the first step. This is kind of the second step to tie it all in a bow and get them going. The Area Plan Commission sent a favorable recommendation to you as the commissioners, 6-0 with one member absent. They did not place any conditions on the PUD. You all have the right to do that too. It actually says may impose reasonable conditions on the proposed planned unit development. I think that we've read through the criteria many times on, you know, what you should look at when you're looking at a rezoning or a PUD application. I can do that again if you'd like to. If not, if you've got any other questions for me, or I know that the petitioner is here as well.
Okay. Let me ask you real quick. Now, can you, or maybe you want them to do it, I just wanted like a summation on what the end game, the totality of this is going to be.
Sure, and I can do that, and then they can correct me if I make a mistake.
But you won't.
So this is about 38 acres. It's what used to be the Macabo subdivision, technically still is the Macabo subdivision off of Claylick Road. The big orange sculpture. That's kind of how I always know where it's at.
Wow.
So there are four existing homes on about 38 acres right now. A big beautiful lake in the middle. Those homes have historically been used as a retreat. I've heard many people say Cummins. I'm not sure if that was the, you know, their corporate retreat area or not. They are big, beautiful homes. They want to be able to use them as tourist homes. And so a PUD is basically make your own zoning ordinance. And that's why they would not have, if it's approved here, they would not have to go through special exception through the BZA for tourist homes.
Well, we know what scrutiny that the Area Planning Commission uses on everything, planning and zoning. How well I know. So I appreciate their diligence in going through this because I know that they've done their work. So there'll be very few times that I would venture away from their salient and very lucid analysis of these kinds of things. But I appreciate your explanation of that.
Not 100%, but we appoint them and we trust them to give us the story and their recommendation. And of course, we have the final say. Yeah.
Okay.
Are there any questions about this? Anyone in the audience or up here?
Let me see if I can just kind of sum this up a bit.
Okay.
Somewhat impressed. I realize you're only asking for like 39 acres, but there's like 550 acres there. And it's been explained to me that you're really not planning on doing any major development out there. You just kind of want this for the tourist homes. Sounds pretty reasonable to me. I don't have a problem with it. None of the neighbors have objected. There's not been a problem before, and I'm sure that this will probably be quieter than when you had big events out there. It's just some turfs. It's pretty big. The only thing I noticed is that the septics were pumped. Some of these houses look, buildings are old, and I believe you told me that the health department has looked at this and said it's okay.
Yes, and the petitioner can verify that as well. I don't know when they went out there.
Yeah.
They'd be able to answer that much better.
So if there's any issues, it's going to crop up, that it looks like you're more than probably capable of taking care of any issues that come up. She says that you really don't have no plan for any further development out there. I'll let you answer. Is it you, sir? No? You, sir. Okay. Had you confused, sir. If you could just tell us what your plans are, what's going on. I think this looks fine, but we'd kind of like to know what your plan for the future is.
Yeah, my name's John Seifert. My wife, Shelley, we own the property. It's essentially what you said. 500 some acre property. 30-some acres is the planned development. We don't anticipate doing anything different than what's in there right now. But the beauty of it is you have this big rural area that's going to protect it.
It was a lot to absorb, but I did read it. And I tried to understand it, and I went to GIS, pulled up the overview map. It actually looked like so much property that it kind of comes in back by Greenbrier Lake.
It does.
So that's a big chunk of land.
Yes.
You seem to be a good steward of it. So I believe I'm good, unless the other two have anything.
No, I'd just like to say that I understand that, you're a property owner of some significance in multiple states, and that's, we're very, very happy that you choose a Brown County to bring all that expertise into, basically what we need here. So thank you for that. And whatever happens in the future, as a private property owner, then I would have full support on whatever is compatible with growing the economy. And so I'm not going to say that we're going to ever limit that. But thank you for all you're bringing to Brown County for us.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. We appreciate that very much. And seems like a no-brainer. Not really changing the operation here at all, except for maybe less traffic. So,
can I make a clarification?
Yes.
Anything is to be added, and I know that the petitioners are aware, on this 38-ish acre parcel, there will have to be an amendment to the zoning ordinance.
Yes.
Because this PUD is its own zoning ordinance. So I know they're well aware of that. I just wanted to make sure you all were too.
Copy that.
Okay.
Thank you, Caleb.
Thank you, Caleb.
That's the reason you're so good.
I would entertain a motion.
He's buttering everybody up today.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve it.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
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 Thank you very much. Get on with your business, sir. We wish you the greatest of success. Okay, next up will be the first reading of the Brown County HDTV ordinance. Meeting schedule and today's first reading, and what's next? Week is today?
Yeah, 17th, next Wednesday.
The adoption. Second reading.
Yeah. And adoption. Adoption.
Yeah. Now, I know there's been a lot of discussion about this. We had two-hour meetings, but if there's anyone here who wasn't able to attend the meetings, or someone who has a new thought on this. We don't need to rehearse everything that's already been said, but I will give an opportunity here not to exceed 10 minutes if anyone would like to speak.
I believe Mr. Clark has sent you something that's got his name on it. Have that. Said he could take a few minutes. Maybe it's below that. That'd be okay for Mr. Clark to come out and speak?
Yep. Jim Clark. Hey, thanks. I figured on 2 minutes, not 10 minutes, so I may use more than 2 minutes. I won't probably have the most popular position. I think there's no need to rush. Perception now that was conveyed is that this can be limited to county residents only, and that's not true. It's going to be open to anyone, just not that. So that changes the scope of your ordinance significantly, and that one's spelled out in the ordinance. And I think educating people on what the impact might be is an important thing to do in advance. I think just spend 4 hours requesting more information, sharing via the county website, pub meetings. Wouldn't take but a few hours to reach out to the different government agencies or commercial businesses to ask for their input. Simple email, let people read it, let you give you some feedback. Three on my point up here, I've got improved communications via the Democrat. The article that came out last week, July 2nd, didn't cover the full story. It reinforced the perspective that's just going to be limited to county residents only, and that's not true. And didn't cover the points that the opposition made, and we haven't flushed out what that means on the impact elsewhere in the county. So unknowns. Before first reading, hold another public meeting and share what has been learned from requesting more information, getting the input from businesses and government organizations. When it gets back, I'll look at the history of this. This ORD ordinance, I think, went back to the paper. It first came out in 2010 and again in 2021. It was not mentioned in the 2020 elections or 2024 primaries as an issue. We now have the two commissioners not up for election pushing this through under 30 days. That just doesn't meet the smell test. You have two meetings and there's no, I didn't see a whole lot of note-taking. Don't see a whole lot of input that came from those to consider, that was considered as part of the new ordinance. So some of the things, yeah, some of the things I'll hit the, I think the perception I heard from many was it seemed like it was a done deal from the start, that their concerns weren't going to be comments, so they didn't bother showing up. The other concern I have is the pushback. So what? We've had two examples of rushing a decision. I think the, what was the point? Let's see. The fire district, I think, came out years ago, and that always went up to the Indiana Supreme Court to resolve that one, in the Indian Hill Railroad Crossing. Another one of those that quickly made without looking at the, you know, at the impacts.
Let me just interrupt for one second. Sure. About the Indian Hill. Yes, there wasn't any public hearing about that, nor was one required by law. In retrospect, if I were to go back, I would have taken much more input. But we did nothing illegal.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying, Jim.
Go ahead, sir.
On the final version, regarding my specific comments on the version of the ordinance, one suggested change is to clearly identify that this cannot be limited to residents only. I'd be curious as to how many proponents of the ordinance, how many people are in favor of the ordinance if it's open to non-residents. And if ORD used by non-residents become popular, is this an acceptable change? Another question is about the age 18 limit. Does Indiana law prevent a 16-year-old with a driver's license from operating an ORV on county roads? On Section 5, it reinforces the exemption of state highways in the county. Can some sections of county roads be added to the list? And what would be the conditions? Reasons may include safety, traffic, noise, dust, and complaints from neighbors. The county does not have a noise ordinance, and there may be some areas where noise may be more of a concern than others. The worst case scenario I've read about is ATVs disrupting peace and quiet in a specific area. Noise became an issue with motorcycles in Nashville, which led to the establishment of a noise ordinance. The article in the local paper I mentioned, it was incomplete and misleading, and if that's the only perception that the public had regarding this ordinance, I think it's a disservice to not have follow-up articles clarifying the scope of this ordinance. Most residents will first be aware of this change when they see ORVs on the roads, at which time they might be asking questions and sharing their concerns. A good time to anticipate and address the issues is before this ordinance is passed. On ORV tourism, it was also mentioned that ORV-related tourism would not be popular in the county. I do understand that for the serious ORV users, Brown County does not offer the challenges of other areas. However, not every ORV user travels outside the county and state to take advantage of these opportunities. As was mentioned, residents want to enjoy riding on our roads and non-residents will as well. This is reinforced by the bicyclists who enjoy riding on our paved and gravel roads. Like ORVs, these bikes can range in price from a few thousand dollars to $20,000 and up. Brown County, unlike other counties, and as mentioned, other counties have this as well, Brown County is a tourist destination. Unlike most other counties, Brown County is a tourist destination with two lane roads, many with short sight lines. Speeding is cited in public meetings as being commonly accepted in many parts of the county, and it's been estimated that we get 3 million visitors a year. ATV rentals and events. I have had a local businessman tell me he does intend to offer ATV rentals. Opponents of this ordinance also mentioned that owners of tourist rentals and Airbnbs will likely advertise that ORVs are allowed on county roads. Is there a privately owned land in the county that others terrain that would be attracted to hosting ORV-related events? If so, this may be a planning and zoning issue. If ORVs can be a new revenue source in support of tourism, this might be of interest to many. Nashville. On the issue of Nashville, Not on any more of these. I would not be surprised to see this changed. The change might encourage more visitors to the town and higher revenues from parking. On the economics, we're a veteran community. People choose to live here and retire here because of the beauty, peace, and quiet, cultural aspects, and adventure opportunities. They generate their income from outside the county and can include working from home. This demographic supports local businesses. Our tax base is funded primarily by income and property tax. Tourism brings in about $12 million in taxable wages and $362 million in gross domestic product. The federal adjusted gross income of all county residents is $550 million. This is the golden goose. The property tax base is also supported by local businesses to include those supporting tourism. In considering the significant change, it helps to identify the possible effects on our tax base. Will the change be perceived as a good thing, cause more harm than good, or just be insignificant? Predictions? It's hard to predict what the impact, if any, might be if Brandon County becomes a tourist destination for RVs. Just asking the business community would be one source of information to confirm or refute the possibility. Would they see it as a good thing or having no effect? Best solutions? Do no harm. Our system of government was designed to enable we, the people, to work together towards a more perfect union and county. In terms of significant change, job one is to do no harm. Meeting this ideal requires that you do all that you can to prevent surprises and request input from stakeholders to offer their perspectives on proposed changes. Again, will the change do more good than harm or just be insignificant? Online presentations. You can also allow and publish a series of presentations on the issues that can be videotaped and shared 24/7. This will allow citizens to listen to both sides of the argument and the counterarguments. Concurrence of county offices and businesses. An additional option that can be quickly done through email, just ask for the concurrence or non-concurrence of the various stakeholder groups. These would include the sheriff, conservation officers, volunteer fire departments, emergency services, the highway superintendent, the tourism industry represented by the CBC, CBB, owners of inns, tourist rentals, Airbnbs, campgrounds, and planning and zoning. In summary, more publicity in a couple more months would help ensure an appropriate level of due diligence was taken into consideration for approving this ordinance. Ask for comments via email and feedback from county offices and businesses. Publish presentations on the county website. Provide and document responses to the frequently asked questions and concerns. In closing, there's no compelling need to fast-track this process. Take a little more time to reach out and educate as many residents as possible. This can lead to the need to make any changes and gain community support for the proposed ordinance. Thank you.
Okay, we've got a minute or two left. Is there anyone else?
Yeah. So I see you here on section 6.1.6.
And who are you?
I'm Bill Kane. And it says that unless the vehicle is equipped with a muffler and other good working order and constant operation to prevent excess and unusual noise, that's the only thing you tell us, that you're going to try to limit the noise to have with a muffler. ATV's got a dB value in the 90s, right? And I've had the unfortunate event of actually having ATVs racing around my neighborhood, a whole bunch of them. And there's nothing in this ordinance that tells us that that can't happen, right? It was happening illegally before, and I called the sheriff and said, hey, there's guys racing those things up and down the road, and they're loud. And it's like, there's nothing there to protect us. If we came to Brown County for peace and quiet, why aren't you protecting us?
I would just say that, yes, the county has no noise ordinance, and we have motorcycles that are much louder than any ATV I've ever heard. They run up and down our roads, making a tremendous amount of noise. There is no law against it, apparently. The Indiana muffler law, I think, must have gone away. And I'm going to single out these vehicles for special restrictions when there's nothing for motorcycles and other vehicles.
If we put one in the parking lot during this meeting and have it rev his engine, you guys would go out there and tell him to stop.
I might, in fact, if there were motorcycles out there too. If someone is disrupting this meeting, I will take appropriate measures
to. And they're going to disrupt our homes right here. Right? I mean, that's what it is. They're loud, and if a whole bunch of them get together and does a circuit around the neighborhood, there's nothing to do about it. Right?
I've seen a lot less ATVs with loud mufflers than I have motorcycles.
They're currently illegal to run on the road, but that won't be the case after this.
All right, sir. Thank you for your input. Anyone else? Maybe one more minute. Yes, sir.
Hello. Hi.
Your name, sir?
My name is Brian Lane. And among great many other great points that have been made about this, regarding how it affects everyone, including a good friend of mine, Lisa, who is a survivor and benefits greatly from, you know, the walk on the roads around her. There's a peaceful road in Yellowwood that many people use to walk and bicycle along to avoid the ticks. There's a derelict home on it that we were going to build a small stone cottage on. This cottage was going to we picked out several local craftsmen and services for this. If this goes through, we'd be dissuaded from selling our home here in Brown County on a private lane. And this is just one example of, this is a specific example of how this would not only affect the real estate in Brown County, but also the community. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. One more. Okay.
My name's Kathleen King. I just have a couple questions and just a comment. So the first is, I didn't even realize that you can get license plates for all of these kind of off-road vehicles. So this is something they can do. They come with a VIN number and they can actually register them. It says they have to be registered.
I believe they give them stickers.
Yes, sir.
And they have to put the stickers on the vehicle.
And a registration card.
And registration.
And insurance. Yeah, because it says that they have to be insured. Right, so.
Insured, yep.
Yeah. Will there be anything in here that, like it sounds like somebody may have approached you that wants to do this as a tourism thing, where there might be a group of them on the road?
They're not supposed to ride more than two at a time.
Okay, it doesn't say that in here.
It's in the state statute.
Okay. That was my concern, of like if you run into 10 of them, you can't pass. It'd be hard to pass on some of the roads that we have. It's hard to pass bicycles sometimes. Just a safety issue is my concern. I mean, the reason they've been illegal is because people get stolen when they're on them, you know, so.
Plus, there's a section in here that tells that they can be fined quite a bit for violations.
So is this something the police will be?
Well, if they stop them, they're going to check them for paperwork. If they don't have the paperwork, then they can be fined. It's not clear on where that money goes to. The registration fees go to the BMB that goes into the off-road fund, evidently. It's not clear, they haven't figured out yet exactly where this money for the fines would go, whether that would be distributed locally.
Well, you think it would go to the sheriff's department?
We will have to figure that out.
So is that going to be included, or is that something?
It's included on here.
He's also right, all the citations.
I saw that.
All the citations, if you want to go through all the states.
I did, but you're saying that that's something that's, we don't know where that money's going.
I don't know where it's going. Does either one of you guys know where that money goes?
I do not.
Let's just answer that question. We'll figure it out.
It says here it goes into the off-road vehicle fund. Now, whether that's comes back to us, but since it's got to be registered by the state of Indiana insured, that I'm sure that has been taken up. There's 79.
I believe any fees that are imposed from operating them illegally or wrong unregistered goes back to the local sheriff. It's like a ticket, like if you get a traffic ticket in the county, it goes back to that same fund.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'll add just a couple things before you do the reading.
Okay.
There is starting to be more opposition against it. Starting to get emails, phone calls. I'm not going to go through and read all of them. I don't have a problem giving you two a copy of what their concerns are. But there seems to be some opposition growing. I think a lot of people get the feeling that this is a done deal. I'm going to go ahead and make my position clear. I'm opposed to it, but I'd like to see the reading done, and I would like to have some more information figured out. Because how this was originally proposed to me is nothing like what the ordinance is. I mean, we have hovercrafts and snowmobiles, and it was originally proposed to me that it would be vehicles with headlights, taillights, turn signals, DOT tires. I mean, this ordinance is completely different what the person that was promoting this told me. And it does seem to be somewhat being fast-tracked. Originally, it was started on the 24th for the meetings. The first meeting was a couple hours. The second meeting was only 1 hour.
And only because that's all the people showed up.
Yeah, that's fine.
I allotted 2 hours for both meetings.
That's fine. And I just see opposition starting to grow against this. So it's originally on the 24th. The first meeting would have been by the 3rd. That would have been within 9 days. I think that's safe to say that that's fast-tracking it. I've started looking up some stuff, and there's been quite a few deaths from these. I've asked that the insurance company receive a copy of this and see if it's going to be any effect on our insurance, because at some point there's going to be a lawsuit, and we're going to get sued. The other thing that I noticed in it was it says that they can only cross at a right angle across the state highway. And some of what I was looking at this morning, it says that if there's access on the state highway to where they're not in the way, or they can ride grassy area or something, I can't remember exactly how it was worded, they might be able to go as far as 200 feet. So it's, I think there's more to look at here, but you gentlemen go ahead and read the ordinance, let everybody hear it, make sure everybody's got a copy. Let's chew on it a little bit more and see what comes out, and possibly the insurance company might have some objection to it. I believe they said that we can't restrict to just Brown County residents only because we receive federal money. Is that, you believe that to be true?
Yes.
Our attorney at some point will let us know on that. There's just some more things. We still have another week before it would be voted on. So let's keep working on it and see, you know, we got time to fix it. There's new commissioners coming in at the first of the year. We don't know who they are for sure. Can't predict an election. I might at some point see if we can go ahead and table it and wait till the first of the year for new commissioners to come in. But I think I'm going to cut it off there, and we'll go ahead and let Blake read it.
Okay, just a little bit of rebuttal, if you will.
You're fine.
The accusation that this is fast-tracked, I think, is a bit misleading. This has been on the radar by Tim's account since 2010. I think it was brought up again just in 18 or 19.
Well, we started before 2010, when I was here before.
Okay.
So this has been going for a couple of decades.
40 years.
So let's not fast track.
And I think at some point in time when it was brought up, it was about people for and against. And during my first term as commissioner, we didn't proceed any further at that point in time. Since then, there's been a shift towards a lot more people in support of it than against it, as was proven by our public meetings. You know, it doesn't matter what county government does, there's always people that miss it, because they don't come to meetings, they don't take the newspaper, they don't read it, they don't get on the internet now and find out what's going on with their government. We've given them a great ample opportunity for years now to express opinions on this ordinance. And most recently, we had 4 hours scheduled for meetings, both for and against. Everyone was invited. The same people who may not have heard it, that oppose it, are the same people or otherwise that were for it or didn't notice the meetings. So you never can get people to come out to government meetings because they're usually boring. And they usually don't concern what the person may be interested in. But that's the best we could do is advertise. We publicized this. It was well advertised, I think. Stated our prior commissioner meetings for some months. We're going to look into this. Been in the newspapers. It's been all over the internet. I don't necessarily agree with the idea that we now are fast-tracking it. It's all being done exactly as prescribed by law. We followed every measure. We had through our legal counsel. They reviewed it, said everything was fine. I don't know if Mike has an update on the residential issue, but he initially told us that he didn't think it'd stand up in court. Mike Moga, have you done any further research on that?
No, I still have the same opinion. I think that would be challenging court, as well as there are issues with funding, which was already mentioned. So my advice was to not to take that route. However, we could take that route and then see how it plays out if that's what you choose to do.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So, Blake, would you like to do the reading?
Be happy to.
Okay.
But I will say, too, that the verbiage on this is almost within the scope of minutia, exactly what 79 other counties in Indiana have. So this is not us going rogue in any way. They've already tackled the issues of, you know, and I've talked to my insurance people. You know, it's like everything else. You call them if you got a good insurance rating. You know, that's because he wouldn't give me a price, but you're going to have to get it registered. You're going to have insurance on it. There's a process. 79 counties. Anyhow. Thus starts the reading. An ordinance establishing rules and regulations for the operation of off-road vehicles in Brown County, Indiana. Whereas a number of citizens of Brown County, Indiana desire to operate off-road vehicles upon the county highways and roadways in Brown County, and whereas the Board of Commissioners of the County of Brown desire to allow and permit the safe and reasonable operation of off-road vehicles upon the county highways and roadways in the County of Brown, and whereas it is in the public interest to establish reasonable rules for the operation of such vehicles on and along county highways, and whereas pursuant to Indiana Code IC 14-16-1-22, the Brown County Board of Commissioners are vested with the authority to authorize and allow the operation of off-road vehicles upon the county highways and roadways in Brown County. Now, therefore, let it be ordained by the Board of Commissioners of the County of Brown that the following provisions regulate the operation of off-road vehicles in Brown County, to wit. Section 1, definitions. The following definitions shall apply to all provisions of this ordinance, unless otherwise provided. Section 1.1, off-road vehicle, quote unquote. A, means a motor-driven vehicle operated of cross-country travel, one, without benefit of a road, and two, on or immediately over land, water, snow, ice, marsh, swamp land, or other natural terrain. B, the terms include the following. One, the multi-wheel drive or low-pressure tire vehicle. Two, an amphibious machine. Two, a ground effect air cushion vehicle. Four, an all-terrain vehicle as defined herein. Five, a recreational off-road vehicle as defined herein. Six, other means of transportation deriving motive power from a source other than muscle or wind. Seven, a snowmobile as defined herein. C, the term does not include the following. One, farm vehicle being used for farming, including but not limited to farm wagon as defined in IC 9-13-2-62. Two, a vehicle used for military or law enforcement purposes. Three, a construction, mining, or other industrial-related vehicle used in the performance of the vehicle's common function, including but not limited to a farm wagon, as defined in IC 9-13-2-62. 2019-62, four, a registered aircraft, five, any other vehicle, property registered by the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, six, any watercraft that is registered under Indiana statutes, and seven, a golf cart. Section 1.2, all-terrain vehicle means a motorized off-road vehicle that, one, is 50 inches or less in width, two, has a dry weight of 1,200 pounds or less, three, is designed to travel on at least three non-highway or off-highway tires, and four, is designed for recreational use by one or more individuals. The term includes parts, equipment, or attachments sold with the vehicle. Section 1.3, a recreational off-road vehicle means a motorized off-road vehicle that, one, is 65 inches or less in width, two, has a dry weight of 2,000 pounds or less, three, is designed for travel on at least four non-highway or off-road tires, and four, is designed for recreational use by one or more individuals. Section 1.4, snowmobile means a motor-driven vehicle, one, designed for travel primarily on snow or ice, and two, of a type that uses A, sled-type runners or skis, B, an endless belt or tread, or C, any combination of these or other similar means of contact with the surface upon which the vehicle is operated. Section 1.5, county highway shall refer to any public way of for vehicular traffic, including the area within the right-of-way located within the unincorporated areas of Brown County is not maintained or owned by the state of Indiana or the United States. Nothing in this ordinance permits the operation of off-road vehicles within the limit of the town of Nashville. A public way means the entire width between the boundary lines of a way. One, that is publicly maintained, and two, when any part of the way is open to the use of the public for purposes of vehicular travel. Section 1.6, operate means to A, ride in or on, and two, be in actual physical control of the operation of a vehicle. Section 1.7, operator means an individual who, one, operates, or two, is in the actual physical control of an off-road vehicle or a snowmobile. Section 1.8, owner means a person other than the lien holder who, one, has a property in or title to, and two, is entitled to the use or possession of an off-road vehicle or a snowmobile. Section 1.9, department shall refer to the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. Section 1.10, bureau refers to the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Section 2, persons authorized to operate off-road vehicles on Brown County roads. Section 2.1, all persons at least 18 years old and legally allowed to operate an off-road vehicle per Indiana state law are hereby authorized to operate an off-road vehicle and upon county roads under the conditions set forth in this ordinance. Section 3, registration of off-road vehicles and snowmobiles. Section 3.1, an off-road vehicle shall not be operated on a Brown County road unless it is duly registered with the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles and meets all requirements and standards set forth in Indiana Code 9-18.1-14-1, etc. Section 3.2, the Bureau will charge a fee to register the off-road vehicle or snowmobile, and the fee shall be deposited in an off-road vehicle and snowmobile fund established by Indiana Code 14-16-1-30. Section 3.3, upon registration, the Bureau shall issue to the applicant a certificate of registration and two decals. The certificate of registration must accompany the off-road vehicle or snowmobile and be made available for inspection upon a demand by a law enforcement officer. The decals issued shall be attached and displayed on the forward half of the off-road vehicle or snowmobile. Failure to carry or produce the registration or to display the decals as prescribed by the Bureau is a Class C infraction per Indiana Code 9-18.1-14-5. Section 4, proof of financial responsibility. 4.1, a person may not operate an off-road vehicle on or upon a Brown County highway if financial responsibility is not in effect with respect to the off-road vehicle. A person who operates an off-road vehicle must provide proof of financial responsibility as required by IC 9-25, etc. proof of financial responsibility means proof of ability to respond to damages for each off-road vehicle registered by a person for liability that arises out of ownership, maintenance, or use of the off-road vehicle in the following amounts. One, $100,000 because of bodily injury or death of any one person. Two, subject to the limit in subdivision one, $300,000 because of bodily injury or death to two or more persons in one accident. Three, $100,000 because of injury to or destruction of property in any one incident. Section 4.2, any person who operates an off-road vehicle over and upon county roads shall carry proof of insurance on his or her person at all times when operating an off-road vehicle on county roads. Section 5, off-road vehicles permitted road. Section 5, the Brown County Board of Commissioners may restrict an off-road vehicle on any county road by designating such roads as unsuitable for off-road vehicular traffic and by posting signs on such designated roads. Section 5.2, an off-road vehicle may be operated on or upon a county road located in Brown County subject to all local ordinances, state laws, state regulations, and all the requirements contained in this ordinance. The following county highways are exempt from this ordinance, and no off-road vehicle shall be operated on upon the following Brown County highways. One, placeholder. It shall be a violation of this ordinance to operate an off-road vehicle on any county road so designated as posted. Section 6, restrictions on operation. Section 6.1, a person shall not operate an off-road vehicle, one, at a rate of speed greater than reasonable and proper, having due regard for existing conditions or in a manner that unnecessarily endangers the person or property of another. Two, while A, under the influence of an alcoholic beverage, or B, unlawfully under the influence of a narcotic or other habit-forming, dangerous depressant or stimulant drug. Three, during the hours from 30 minutes after sunset to 30 minutes before sunrise without displaying a lighted headlight and a lighted taillight. Four, in a forest, nursery, a planting area, a public land, posted or reasonably identified as an area of forest or plant reproduction, and when growing, stock may be damaged. Five, on the frozen surface of public waters within A, 100 feet of an individual not in or upon a vehicle, or B, 100 feet of a fishing shanty or shelter, except at a speed of not more than 5 miles per hour. Six, unless the vehicle is equipped with a muffler in good working order in constant operation to prevent excessive or unusual noise and annoying smoke. Seven, within 100 feet of a dwelling between midnight and 6 a.m., except on the individual's own property or the property under the individual's control or as an invited guest. Eight, on any property without the consent of the landowner or tenant. Nine, while transporting on or in the vehicle a firearm, unless the firearm is A, unloaded, and B, securely encased or equipped with and made inoperative by a manufactured key lock trigger housing mechanism. 10, or on across a cemetery or burial ground. 11, within 100 feet of a slide, ski, or skating area, except for the purpose of servicing the area. 12, on a railroad track or railroad right-of-way, except railroad personnel in the performance of duties. 13, in or upon a flowing stream, river, or creek, except for the purpose of crossing by the shortest possible route, unless the river, stream, or creek is of sufficient water depth to permit movement of location of the vehicle at all times. 14, an individual cannot operate the vehicle while a bow is present in or on the vehicle if the neck or the nock of the arrow is in position on the string of the bow. Subsection A-9 does not apply to the person who is carrying the firearm if, one, the firearm is a handgun, and A, the person is not otherwise prohibited from possessing a firearm under state or federal law, or B, if the person carrying the firearm is operating the vehicle on property the person A owns, two, has a contractual interest in, three, otherwise legally possesses, or four, has permission from a person described in sections 1 through 3 to possess a firearm. Section 6.2, any further restriction added by Title 14 of the Indiana Code shall be incorporated in this ordinance. Section 7, operating on county roads, a person shall comply with the following while operating an off-road vehicle on county highway. Section 7.1, the operator of an off-road vehicle shall abide by all traffic laws governing operation of motor vehicles in the state of Indiana set forth by Titles 9, 14, and 35 in the Indiana Code. Section 7.2, the operator of an off-road vehicle may not cross a county road or enter upon a county road other than at the right angles. Section 7.3, the operator of an off-road vehicle shall bring his off-road vehicle to a complete stop or proceeding onto it or across a county road and shall yield the right of way to all traffic. Section 7.4, no passengers are permitted on single-seat off-road vehicles. Passengers on all other off-road vehicles are limited to the number of seats on the vehicle. No passenger may be under the age of 6 years old. An individual less than 18 years of age who is riding on the off-road vehicle shall wear a helmet. Section 8, enforcement of the ordinance. Section 8.1, unless otherwise prohibited by state law, all law enforcement officers having jurisdiction in Brown County, Indiana, including the officers of the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, shall have the authority to enforce the provisions of this ordinance. Section 9, penalties for violation. Section 9.1, violations of provisions under this ordinance are subject to punishment per IC 14-16-1-29. Section 9.2, a person who violates any other provisions of this ordinance, not punishable under 14-16-110-29, shall be fined in the sum of $100 per violation. If a person violates a provision a second time within one calendar year of a previous violation, they should be fined the sum of $250. If a person violates a provision a third time within one calendar year, they shall be fined a sum of $500. Any further violations within the same calendar year shall be fined a sum of $500. Section 10, severability. Section 10.1, the various provisions of this ordinance are to be considered severable if any part or portion of this ordinance shall be held invalid by any court of competent jurisdiction. Such holding or decision shall not affect a validity of the remaining provisions of this ordinance, which shall remain in full force and effect. Section 11, repeal. Section 11.1, this ordinance supersedes all other ordinances or parts of ordinances which are in conflict with its provisions. All prior ordinances and resolutions in conflict or inconsistent herewith are expressly repealed. Section 12, applicability and effective date. Section 12.1, this ordinance shall apply to the unincorporated areas of Brown County, Indiana. Section 12.2, this ordinance shall not be construed to permit the use of off-road vehicles on state highways. Section 12.3, this ordinance shall be in full force and effect immediately on its adoption and publication as required by law. So ends the reading.
Thank you, Blake. I have a long reading. Those who've already examined and studied it would have any questions. Certainly things were brought out in there that addressed some of the concerns we brought earlier in this meeting. There are a lot of restrictions, and this doesn't just throw open the door to all kinds of people and vehicles operating on county roads, state roads, national or off limits. I'm not sure why anybody would necessarily want to come here and rent one, because the ability to maneuver in Brown County is so severely restricted. Unlike Gatlinburg, you can rent one and drive up to the top of the hill on the same highway. That's not the case here. This is strictly county roads. It's mostly for the benefit of residents, obviously, because you can't hardly get from A to B across this county without being on the state road or someplace anyway. So I do appreciate all the input. We still continue to take input at our phones, our emails, in person, any other way that you can communicate with us. I think all of our information is available on the county website, And if you have anything to add to the situation, please do so.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes, go ahead.
One last thing before we move topics. I believe in section 5.2, when Blake was reading, you mentioned placeholder as the roads. I think it's just because you didn't get that final copy in front of you where it lists the actual roads that you want to have restricted. So in order to finish the first reading, I'd like us to list the roads that will be included in the ordinance that are not restricted.
Yes, I noticed that on my copy as well. And under 5.2, it actually said Indiana Highway 46 West, Indiana Highway 46 East, Indiana Highway 135 North, Indiana Highway 135 South, and Indiana Highway 45 West. Is that a placeholder?
Okay, I didn't get, apparently I didn't get that one.
Everything else is exactly.
Is that good enough, Mike? He just read it?
Yep, that's good. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Next Wednesday at 6 p.m., July 17th, the second and final reading and a vote on the ordinance. Any questions? Hearing none, let's move right on to the highway. Eric?
How do you follow up? So I emailed earlier today, just kind of an updated report. I can go over this. If you guys got any questions, it's about a minute to look at it. I'd be more than happy to answer questions. I thought I'd just, seeing what was going on today, I would make this nice and easy.
So. I appreciate you preparing this for me, for us. Mm-hmm. It answers a lot of questions. It can help us improve our county assets value-wise. I'll let you go, though. Thank you.
Yeah. Like I said, if you guys read this later today, tomorrow, and you got questions, feel free. I mean, this is kind of just on top of our normal duties that we're already doing and been doing. The guys are working good. Everybody's moving right along, you know, other than maybe getting a few more guys. But we're going to talk to council, see what we got available to get these positions opened up so we can hire. So.
I hear that the morale is much better.
Yep. Things are looking up. You know, obviously with anybody, we got a few snags, but working through it, and I think everybody's pretty happy.
Plus, it does make it a lot easier when you give us a heads up on this stuff, and if you have questions, you don't have to bring it at the last minute. We can ask you if we got a question, we can ask you ahead of time, or else put it up there. So I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That speeds it up a little bit.
I'll try to do that a few days before, you know, the next meeting. That gives you a little more time to look at it. It's just a lot to talk about.
And sure.
If I put it out there, at least you can read through it. And
thank you.
It kind of just explains things.
Okay. For the public, I think maybe a couple things. How are we coming with the bridge on Mount Liberty?
So it's nothing's changed on that. It's still as scheduled. They anticipate August 5th. I believe it's August 5th or 7th. I have to look at that again, but right at in the beginning of August, that'd be open back up.
Okay.
So construction's supposed to start here this month. Once you see that starting, it'll be just a couple weeks, and they'll be done.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll move right along.
And I've been getting a lot of compliments on, you know, the paving out there on Bear Creek.
Yep.
A lot of folks going out that way or seeing some market improvements. So
yeah, they've had some weather delays, and then they've had some plant closures that's held them up a little bit. But, I mean, that's as expected with any big project. But we're moving along. And striping's going to be coming on Gatesville. All that, you know, as we go.
And the other question is about the local road money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I reached out to Greg Aritas's office today, talked with Charlie, sent him an email. We're looking at our funds to see, you know, obviously we want to wait until we close out this community crossing to see what funds we have left, see how much of those funds we want to spend on local. Unfortunately, the roads that were on the 2023, you know, plan didn't get completed, so we're already kind of a year behind. We've had some questions about that because that wasn't the master plan. So we're going to do our best to try to play catch up, depending on what kind of funds we got.
Okay. Anybody in the audience have any questions for Eric?
Anybody got a pothole they want fixed?
I got one. Let's gentlemen go first.
Yes, sir. Come to the mic and identify yourself.
I'm sorry?
You have to come to the mic and take your name.
Yes, sir.
And it's for the record.
Yes, sir. My name is Jim Gore, and we have a property out at 1969 Owl Creek Road. And we, since they resurfaced Owl Creek about, what was that, 2-3 years ago? I think it was 22. They raised the road about 3 inches, 2 to 3 inches. And as our driveway goes up a rather steep hill, we've tried to get that transition fixed. Because now, as we come off Owl Creek onto the road or onto our driveway, or vice versa, the cars scrape on the road or our trailer scrapes on the road. We've talked to the previous commissioner many times. I've got dates documented when we talked to him. I had the pleasure of meeting and talking to Eric here about a month and a half ago. And he said he thought he might miss out on the schedule or be able to go out and look at it. Just curious where that might be.
If I'm not mistaken, I talked to the assistant.
Okay.
I think maybe Trent's the one that spoke with you. We may have spoke on the phone. I'm not sure.
We did.
But he came out to your property and also said they're going to get some stone there, but said you need a culvert pipe. If I'm not mistaken, this could be a different one.
Yeah, you've got the wrong.
Well, we've had a lot of these issues with raising the road elevation.
I'm sure.
But yeah, if you, I'll have to give you a card if you want to call me again. And,
I got your number.
Okay.
I'll call you.
Yeah, just call me.
Yeah, it's just a situation where the...
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And our driveway is rather steep going up a hill.
And we went out and we've done a lot of that lately. So.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate it. We'll be in touch then.
Yep,
thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, sir.
You fellows do a wonderful job, I must admit. Thank you.
The only thing that I have to add with Eric is there's an ordinance passed. Ordinance was 11/21/94/2. It's about the county highway. I kind of talked a little bit about him with this. If I jump into number 10 there, this topic has come up before, and it just talks about seeding, okay? It's all disturbed areas will be mulched, seeded, fertilized, and have straw or other protective covering placed and be maintained to prevent erosion. Erosion must be repaired. Evidence of erosion will reject the acceptance. So the conversation so far I've been having with Eric is to have the guys out there manually seeding and strawing and on the banks, Brown County, it's kind of hard to do. I've asked him to possibly look into the purchasing of a hydro seeder. It's like a tandem machine that you put the liquid in and the seed in, and it sprays it out. It has like a big wand on it, and you spray it out on the banks to keep it from eroding. He's going to look into that, and I believe you said something about that. The erosion is the main problem with the ditches stopping back up. They do riff wrap, pack it in there, but you know, Brown County is kind of unique, and no one road is the same, it don't seem. So he's going to look into that, and we'll see if we can do something about that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, and we hate to admit this, but it's true, and there's not a lot we can do about it. But county highway ditches are one of the biggest sources of erosion that's going into Lake Monroe. And it's very hard to control all of that. But this would be a step in the right direction.
And we're also trying to change the way we ditch. You know, the old way of ditching, just dragging a whole bank and stuff down, we're trying to avoid that. We're trying to take that erosion factor out of there. So we're trying to do more dragging at the bottom, just cleaning the path, leaving that bank steady, and not tearing that all up. So we are working on kind of an improved ditching plan.
But this wasn't really necessarily so much about the erosion as when they lifted it up, there was a dip going up there, and then that's where you're scraping, right?
Separate. Yeah, that's separate.
Yeah, in our situation, that was the case. In the past, it was a normal transition from the driveway down to the street.
Right.
And now the street is elevated about 3 inches up, and that's just enough to make the low-riding cars scrape on the road, and you can actually see the scrape marks 2, 3, 4 feet long in the road in Owl Creek.
Wasn't it nice, though, to have that nice new pavement there?
I agree 100%, and we appreciate that 100%.
Yeah, the problem is just doing the wedging, leveling, and overlays.
Yeah.
It just keeps raising the road. So at some point, we're going to have to reevaluate that and do some milling, and, you know, once our roads get solid.
We just had to have our driveway. We live out on Bearwalla, and it wasn't anything to do with them paving it, because the paving's been great. But when we had some of those storms come in, that had a dip like you're talking about. So I was going to have Eric come out there and fix it, and we said, well, you know what, that's one way of winding up on the front page of Democrat. So we had Wagler's come out, and he fixed all that. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, that scrapey thing, not good.
Well, our road, our driveway, shall I say, elevates 110 feet and 600 feet of length.
Wow.
So you can imagine it's rather steep. My dad, who bought the property back in 1952, said it's, he thought, was the second steepest driveway in the county. So you can imagine that's pretty steep. And so that transition down to Owl Creek was rather important. And so that's where we have the dip.
Eric's on the case.
He's the man.
Eric, we might review the contract we have to the papers. I was thinking in the past that was part of the paving job, was to put the stone along to bring it back up to grade.
Well, we got the stone shoulder stuff on there. Unfortunately, there hasn't in the past been enough added in that, so we kind of had to pick and choose where we put it. We lucked out here on Gatesville. I think we had it worked out to where we took away some of the other and we added more stone. So we're trying to do that. So
okay.
Moving forward, we'll, you know, if we're not milling, we'll work on that. But I mean, but it's, we're dealing with it all the time. We get a call. We try to get on through it as soon as we can. This may have been a communication error where, you know, we tried to call back, we didn't get an answer, and then it kind of got, you know, we went on to the next step. So, you know, it's not anything we can't take.
There's a safety issue. We did have a case where I think we were sued when a propane truck veered off the edge of the pavement. Like a 6-inch drop.
Yeah.
He overcorrected, turned the thing over and all. So we need to be, if it's not done or correct, completely corrected by the paving companies, then we probably need to go back and
fix the situation. Yeah, we just have to make sure in the bid docs there's enough stone there added. Otherwise, they can't. They can do it, but then it's on our dime and we got to find the money to pay for it. And I mean, we do have some instances where you can't stone shoulder because the ditch is right there, you know. We don't have the easement to make things wider, so we just don't have that option. I mean, we do the best we can.
Yeah.
That's great. Good.
Getting compliments. Even people that have problems are complimenting you, so, I mean,
good.
You can't get any better than that.
You get more with a teaspoon of sugar than you
get in the morning. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir, Bill.
Yeah, as far as the grants you're dealing, you know, Julia needs to be involved in all the grants.
Okay.
You got to work through Julia on all the grants. But he's looking into getting some grants for the.
Well, this so since you brought that up, I can talk about it. It's a safety grant, a railroad grant from NDOT. It's a no cost grant for the county. It's not a match. It's zero cost. It's basically updating pavement markings, signs, warning signs. It's something that she may have left Whitney from ARA. I talked with her. A guy named John Secor, I believe, reached out to me, and he writes a lot of these grants for a lot of other communities. I made sure with NDOT he was approved, he was good. They said absolutely, he knows the stuff, he's good to go. He doesn't charge us anything. He's kind of contracted with AAA Striping. He gets a little stipend, I think, from them. They put all the costs together. Like I said, it's nothing that us as a highway or the county has to do. This gets submitted through NDOT. They either approve it or don't. It's not a huge grant, you know, $10,000, $15,000, or I don't know, but it's no cost to us.
Well, that helps. I know we've recently had an unfunded mandate from the feds to put up new signs to all the bridges, which cost us, I don't know how many dollars. So any help we can get.
And that's the next grant. It opens up in September. It's another safety grant through NDOT. I'm working with Whitney on that one also. We're going to try to go after some safety stuff, whether it be new lines driving, signs, guardrails, anything safety related, we can try to put in this grant. So we've got a little bit of time to get something together. It opens up in September, so we're going to go after that. That's a 90-10 match, something like that. So it's still, and sometimes, depending on what kind of safety stuff it is, it's 100% match. So we could get lucky and not cost us that either.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
And I'd like to clear something up, because I know there's some whiners and criers, but yeah, the county highway department bought a new truck that I'm driving. You know, it's the truck that I inherited from previous superintendent had been broke down for years. He drove it, couldn't even drive it out of the county because it wouldn't run. I spent $2,000 on it trying to fix it, and it ran for about 2 weeks, broke again. So I reached out and looked at some trades, some numbers. We got $34,000 in trade for his old truck. I bought a new truck. It cost us $33,955. That money was in my equipment purchase fund. I got approval from two commissioners, because that's only two I could grab at the time. We got the truck bought. It's getting decals put on it soon. A snowplow going back on it. Fuel tanks in it. Lights are on it. I'm working out of it. It's not my personal truck. County paid for it.
It's a work vehicle, and that's the thing. It's already got the diesel hauler in the back. It's got the thing set up, and they put the snow plow on it. It's not like you got a freaking sports car, right?
So, and it is what it is. But yeah, the county bought a new truck.
It's county property.
Let me just add something to that. I know there's been some questions calling for a special audit of the highway department's purchases and so forth. People are seeing new trucks on the road, and those are not all trucks that Eric bought. We had, I think, as many as three brand new vehicles at the highway department that had never been idled, some since 2021.
Yeah.
Four vehicles. So those new vehicles you're seeing there have been bought, paid for, and been sitting down there for a long time. I apologize.
Well, not only that, and it's in my report too, there was two other trucks that the highway department bought in 2018, never titled. They are not even in our name still to this day. No paperwork, no documentation. I had to reach out to Doug in the auditor's office. I had to reach out to the company that we bought them from. They got us duplicate titles. They're in the mail. They're on the way. Those will be titled too. They are insured, so they've been insured. Just, I don't understand some of it. I was finally able to get the three dump trucks titled. They're all titled. I got one of them plated. The other two, the paperwork's been sent off for plates. We should have them in the mail any day. So that's the stuff I'm dealing with. We spent $152,300 on a brand new New Holland tractor with a sidearm mower. Once again, paid for out of my equipment fund money that was already budgeted.
Yes.
And it's in Van Buren right now. It's been there for 2-3 weeks working that area, that township. It will move around the county and township by township. People down there are already calling, thanking us. You know, Facebook stuff, they're loving it. It's been a great asset already. It's worked since day one when we purchased it. So, all the hate that I'm getting for spending money, if you guys want your county to look nice, it takes some equipment to do that. And this is stuff that should have been purchased a while ago and fixed a while ago. I'm just here to do my job. And I've got nothing to hide, so, you know, anonymous post can come to my office and talk to me. Let's just get it over with. I mean, there's no point in it. So I don't read into Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. It's just people send me stuff and say, hey, look at this. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
Well, don't get your feelings hurt, because there's always going to be a couple out there, but 99% of people are very, very happy with the way things are going.
It is what it is. Like, yeah. I said, I don't go on Facebook and go back and forth with people, but if someone's got a problem, come see me.
It's going well. Thank you very much.
This is a good start. We cleared everything up. It's just a paper trail. Keeping track of it so we can keep our assets. You seem to be on top of it. And I appreciate that
you're putting
it. Thank you.
Yes, Eric, we kind of stepped out on faith, took a chance on you to begin with, and so far I'm very happy about that decision.
Yahtzee, baby.
Doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Laura, you were at the top of the list, and somehow you wound up at the bottom.
That's
so
right.
You had to sit here all this time.
That's okay.
Think how much you learned, though.
I don't even have any TV. I just have a contract. Do you guys have it?
Yes.
Okay. I just need it signed. We did a little audit of some of the phone bills. We had a couple that were over $400 or $500 a month, and we're bringing them out about 70. So if you guys sign it, we'll get it in place. And for the copper lines for 911 and the other ones we're looking into.
So you're saving us about $330 a month by doing this?
No, all in all, with what we've come up with in this little audit that we've done, it's about $1,000 a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Good job.
Yes, thank you very much.
Just get that signed, and then I'll send it to the AT&T rep, and that's all I have.
Should we go ahead and probably make a motion to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
You ready for motion? I go ahead and make a motion to approve the new AT&T contract and have it signed by at least two of the commissioners.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We appreciate what you do.
Is there anything else you guys have?
I don't think so.
All right.
Thank you.
Don't take off. Just make sure we sign this in the right place. So there's no.
There's only a spot for one, but you get to sign it underneath there.
As you can imagine, the county has a lot of phone lines, phone usage. And sometimes it takes somebody on top of that to make sure that unused lines are taken off and the light is put on. Keep it as
come around this
low
way
as possible.
However, it says AT&T authorized representative, customer authorized representative.
Yeah, you'll sign there and then some of them sign.
I'll have a sign below, but one of these guys signed the top, so I'll Jerry.
All right.
I'll sign below. Okay. And then I'll start all the signing.
Moga, do you have anything further for us?
Not that, thanks.
Okay.
Could you go ahead and go through and recite the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and some other stuff so we feel like we'll get the money's worth out of you today?
Save that for next meeting.
Never mind.
Unless anyone has anything else for this commissioner, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. They might look at my phone.
Thank you.
Tell us who you are.
Okay.
For the record.
Yeah, I'm Phil McCown, and I'd just like to check on the status of the county comprehensive plan.
Okay.
Who would like to address that?
Robin, do you have some information on that?
Planning and zoning's working on it. That's when we checked with Kayla.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I understand that an RFP was supposed to go out, and I don't know if that...
Kayla.
Again.
Yes, being worked on.
It's Taylor for planning.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. She's had enough on that. In fact, the planning commission been working on definitions for quite a while. I think we got that finished up. And
right, but well, I spoke. Oh gosh, who's the nice woman that works in the office there?
Melissa.
Melissa.
Yeah. She was going to send out the RFP the end of June. And part of the work that the consultant would be doing in preparing the draft would be doing what's generally considered the appropriate definitions rather than have them derived locally. So it would be done by professionals that know what.
Right.
I think we found money for that.
Yeah, it's ROI money through.
I'm not sure. Listen, not here today.
She's got a hip replacement.
Oh no! She's got bigger problems than this.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I believe it was a pine for a grant for that.
Yeah.
You guys offered 26,000, 27,000.
Right.
If it was done by the end of the year.
Yes. No. As I understand it from Melissa, the money has to be spent by the end of the year, and it's on a pay-as-you-go basis. But the actual plan does not have to be completed by the end of the year. It just work has to be done to use up that money.
Mr. President, I don't see any reason why we couldn't put on the 17th commissioner's agenda like an update.
Yes,
an update,
that'd be great.
And then we can get all the parties involved and tell you where they're at right now. Because, we can't get to it until everybody does their part.
Sure.
So it's, I mean, it looks like it's stuck in the mud, but I don't think it is.
Well.
But, that's good, you know, I'm not saying it's not. So.
I appreciate it. I think that'd be a great idea. There we go.
So I'm not sure that gets on the agenda, Donna. Even though you weren't the nice one in there.
I know, I'm the mean one.
I didn't have the pleasure of working with her.
That's a good thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Well, thank you.
Anything else? If not, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to second, all in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming.
Please make sure that you have.
Hearing the ordinance, I posted my Democrat in language. Have you seen it? I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's in this week. It's really tough to search your website.
I know.
When it comes to keywords, I went through legals and I went through.
There's the search bar on the main page.
That's probably, and you go and try to do something. It's just, I thought you guys had better access.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I have our papers I can look through on my desk.
Okay.
Yeah.